Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Shelton School Podcast. I am upper school film teacher Hunter Dusing, and joining me is middle school history and elective teacher Courtney Dios. Say hello, Courtney.
Hello.
And we are joined by a lovely pair of Shelton parents. We have Mr. Andy Pena. Say hello, Andy.
Hello, how are you?
And we have his wife, Gina Pena.
Say hello.
Hey. So I've actually known y'all for quite some time through my church, and so I was delighted to see you up at school one day. So why don't y'all talk a little bit about how that came to be, y'all coming to Shelton?
Well, Arwen had been struggling for quite some time, probably since she was about 4 years old, but nobody really knew what was going on, so we kept her in the school she was at for a couple of years, and finally at first grade, actually in kindergarten, they asked us to hold her back, so we held her back, thinking maybe that was a problem, the maturity level. So in first grade, she was still struggling, so we were like, okay, something's going on. So what we did is we decided to get her tested in April of 2016, and that's when we found out that she was dyslexic, dysgraphia, dyscalculia, and she had some sensory issues and auditory. Right, I need that, right?
Yeah.
And basically, a nice little cocktail of learning differences. We didn't know what to do at this point because, you know, most schools don't really know how to handle these children, and we didn't know where to go. We didn't know who to talk to. Finally, a friend of ours is like, well, why don't you try this school and that school? So we visited, in the summer of 2016, I visited probably 20 schools. I visited ISD schools. I visited parochial schools. I visited private schools. I can't even tell you. I would go into the school.
I'm gonna cry.
I would come out of the school that I visited and sit in my car and cry because the school would say, sure, we can pull her out for 45 minutes and give her what she needs. And I'm like, that's not what she needs. So I said, okay, we got to find something else.
Well, and we tried that when at our previous school, when we did get the diagnosis. Of course, you know, the previous school did not have the resources, you know, really the knowledge to help our daughter. And that was pretty eye-opening in and of itself. We thought, you know, we're paying tuition. We have good teachers here. Why can't they help our daughter? That was part of our struggle as well, not understanding why our school that we loved so much and we did not want to leave, why that school could not help Arwen. I think that was three quarters of the struggle. Realizing that she had some challenges, and then B, how do we work with the school that we were at to help Arwen? And we tried many things because, you know, we didn't want to leave. We loved it there. That was part of our family. And and it came to a point where we had to make a decision. And that was probably the toughest thing that we ever had to do to this point, was make that decision of going into the unknown, mm-hmm. Finding a place where Arwen would succeed, and would she succeed? So.
And then also we thought about, we're taking her away from her friends, her family, what she's known for the past 5.5 years. What are we going to do?
Well, it's her comfort too. I mean, when you're struggling in a, you go to a building every day to learn. And when that, you struggle with the one reason why you're showing up every day, and you're taking away everything that's comfortable to her, that surrounds her, minus that one challenge she has of why she's there. Now you're taking her away from everything. And it, I mean, I feel like a lot of the students that come here, it, you know, they have the experiences of such a bad school experience.
Right.
And not that the school was bad, but they can't accommodate what the needs are. But now it's like you put them in a place where now they're comfortable with school and things are working, but then it's where are all their friends?
Right.
And people want that family. Like you mentioned the word family. I think that's a huge thing. When you're in school, you don't want to move them because that is your family. You drop them off every day knowing that they're safe.
Right. And that was a big thing for us, because not only did she have friends there, but that we had people that were our family. Mm-hmm. So it was like, we're going to break up with our family.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times it's ironic, because I think a lot of times it winds up being tougher on the parents than it does the children. The children are ready to leave.
Yes.
They realize that they're, that they need the help, that they're struggling, that they have challenges. It's the parents who struggle even more. They don't want to, it's not that they think of themselves, but it's their comfortability, and they're just afraid of the unknown, and they're afraid to leave their friend, their own friends. You know, the mm-hmm. parents are afraid to leave their own friends, their own little cliques, their groups. They don't want to give that up. So in the long run, they're not thinking about the child. They really are thinking about themselves.
Yeah.
And it was funny, because I was so worried about her having friends, or, you know, a new school environment and new people. And I mean, I would literally, the first month I was at Shelton, I would sit in my car to see if the teacher was going to call me, or if I needed to go inside to grab her. I mean, I was a little crazy. And I said, okay. And I would come home, and I would, you know, and I'd finally come home, and no phone calls. I was okay. And then I'd pick her up. I said, how was your day? I went, it was good, Mom. It was good. Everything was always good, you know. And I was like, okay, she's doing okay. Mm-hmm. So I was more worried than she, you know, than she was worried about the school. It took her a couple of months.
Yeah, that's pretty normal to adjust.
But other than that, I mean, she was like, Mom, I only have this for homework, and, you know, and I have a great lunchroom, and, you know, I have great friends. And she was just, I mean, she was all about the school. And I thought to myself, I made myself more sick than I should have been.
Well, because we don't get a handbook to parenting.
No.
There's no handbook. And I even remember, you'll get to experience this soon. I say soon, just whenever you have kids. But you don't get, like, we are having to make decisions for our kids that could be life-changing.
Yeah.
And we fear the unknown of making a decision and doing the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that we pave the path for our kids. And so, you know, I think school decisions have been the hardest thing that I've had to come up against with my kids, mm-hmm. of, you know, what school is right for them. Like, you go visit all these schools, but at what point do you really know that it's the right school? You don't until you're there.
And we struggled with that. We tried so hard, and we resisted so much to pull her out of the school that we really wanted her to be at, and we were really comfortable in. And it literally took an act of God for us to understand and realize, this is not for her. We're thinking about ourselves. This environment is mm-hmm. not for her. She's not succeeding here.
And that is so true. And I go back, and I can kick myself all the time, because I'm like, why didn't I take her out when she was in kindergarten? Why didn't I see that, Gina? You know, but until I got here and I educated myself on what to look for, mm-hmm. and what you can see in your child as far as the learning difference, you're like, oh my goodness, she had this in kindergarten, first grade. How come I didn't see that?
So jumping back, because ironically, we have a mutual friend.
Yes.
And I remember very clearly, like it was yesterday, the phone call I got from that friend and said, I have someone that is a perfect fit for Shelton, and I need you, if you're willing, to talk to her. I don't think we ever talked, because I think that she talked to you more on that side than me, because she knew my story. But I know, and if I remember correctly, the school you were at was, I believe, had or setting up some sort of accommodations or some sort of whatever they did to accommodate kids with learning differences.
Right.
And at that point, when I was talking to my girlfriend who also attends that school, she was saying, I just know it's not going to be what really kids with learning differences have, because Shelton is the best.
Right.
And she knew that. And so I think, I don't know, I just want to go back to that point when y'all finally stepped away and said, we've got to do this. And how did y'all, I guess, was Shelton one of the ones that y'all visited of those 20 schools?
Okay. It was funny. Yeah, we visited We visited another school, and then we came to Shelton. And we walked in, and Andy, tell them what you said when we walked in.
So this was, y'all came here after visiting multiple schools. So
yes.
This was kind of on the tail end of where y'all were
at
looking.
At the very end, yes,
okay.
Actually was.
And you know, it's funny, even before that, that summer was just...
2016.
It was a nightmare. I mean...
Total nightmare.
We
had no school.
We had no idea where we were going to.
Big unknown.
So you had already decided when y'all left for that school year in May, you knew you weren't going back.
We knew that we weren't going. I mean, there was a very, very slim chance.
I knew in my heart that
we could not go back. It was Gina that needed the convincing that we could not go back. And and I tried. I give the previous school a lot of credit. The principal there,
yes.
A very caring woman.
Very caring.
She tried to convince Gina, especially.
She did.
Look, Arwen is a very sweet girl. She's not going to survive here, and I want Arwen to be the best that she can be.
She cared very much about her,
and she really helped. She did. She helped us a lot. Getting introduced to some of these other schools because we had no idea. We had no idea what dyslexia was. We had no idea what learning differences were.
Well, on top of that, you've got 400 schools just in the Dallas metroplex.
Like, where do you go?
Yeah.
Right.
Who's going to help you?
Yeah. So that summer was heck. It was probably one of the toughest summers we've ever had.
Yeah.
You know, we've been married for a long time and we've had our struggles in our marriage, but marriage is nothing compared to the struggle that we went through with our family that whole summer. Thank God that we're faith-based because I think if it wasn't for our faith, we wouldn't have survived that summer. We were extremely dependent on the Lord and on our faith that everything would work out. And, you know, Gina, to her credit, she spent, while I was working, she spent a lot of that summer, researching what all these things, learning differences were, what dyslexia was, how we could fix it, how we can help Arwen.
Well, at that point, some people really think you're going to send them somewhere, you're going to fix it, and when they're fixed, then where do we go?
Exactly. Yeah.
And there's no fixing.
There's no fixing.
Yeah.
You have dyslexia forever.
It's unlocking
a
treasure that's hidden inside because as soon as you unlock that, these kids are unstoppable.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's really such an advantage. It's not a disadvantage, and that's what people don't understand. Like, it is such a gift to have a learning difference because later in life, people look for those people that can think different and come up with ideas, not just
out of
the lateral.
Box.
Yeah.
Out of the box.
So, anyway, sorry, continue.
Gina spent a lot of time researching the schools that could accommodate. And we visited several schools.
Yeah.
And I think the first time we walked into Shelton, we just got that feeling of...
Something was right.
There's something right here at Shelton.
Feels good here.
The environment was warm. Was welcoming. We could just tell that the staff really cared, and they knew what they were doing.
And that's a big one, is that they knew what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh wow, how do we get in this place? How do we get in here?
And it's even funny because the first year Arwen came to Shelton, and even last year, we would question every now and then, we're not seeing any progress, or we're seeing some progress, but not the progress that Gina and I think we should be seeing. And then I would check myself, and I would say, you know what? They know what they're doing. Trust the process.
Yes.
And by gosh, it's when you trust the process, you will notice the difference. And in 2.5 to almost 3 short years now, we have seen such drastic positive change in Arwen.
Well, not even that. The first 6 months we were here, I mean, our whole lives were like, remember how bad it was at dinner time beforehand? We were, because of, she didn't know what she was doing at the other school. And I kid you not, the first 6 months we were like, oh, we can have dinner together and nobody's mad and
nobody's
crying about homework. And we're like, wow. Well, we get our life back, and we don't have to worry about having 4,000 tutors and blah, 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 and
but
all
that's,
this after school.
Yeah,
we
and
have
that's
a life.
Exactly.
We get our family
and
back.
You know, that, and I think that's the, that's been a blessing as well, being here at Shelton. Everything is here at Shelton, where, and the, you know, where Gina would have to, and I at times, when we were in the other school, we would be running all over the place.
Speech,
the
we had OT,
speech,
we
OT,
had tutors. I mean, we didn't get home till like 8, 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Where's life at? Where's your life at? Mm-hmm. You have no life.
Yeah.
Here, you go home, you have a life.
Well, and the advocating, too. Like, you know, I've heard a lot of stories, just sharing my story as an alumni, that they would go home, and the kids didn't know what to do for the homework. So, mm-hmm. and it's like, hey, do you have homework? What do you need to do? Okay, let's sit down and do it. And, like, mm-hmm. math. I don't know how to do that math. I did that math 35 years ago, and they don't even teach it the same way. And so it was just that constant struggle of like, well, I don't know. Call your teacher. Email your teacher. Well, I don't know their number. And, you know, it's that constant of us having to delegate the kids on going, what's your homework? Are you sure you've done it all? What do you have to do tomorrow? And ever since I've had my son here, he hands me the sheets. I sign them. I'm like, well, did you do your homework? And he's like, yeah, I finished it all. But there's no, they don't want you to help them.
Yeah.
They don't want you to do anything. And not in a bad way, in a positive
right.
way.
Right.
Because if you send your kid home and the parents are doing the homework, they don't know where the kid needs the most help.
Right.
And so when they bring it back and they're like, okay, now I kind of see what we need to work on more, so they can start building weaknesses and the strengths will kind of take over naturally. So the beauty of it is you go home and you get a life afterwards.
You get a kid.
And you know why we get out at 2:30 on Fridays? So we can have a great weekend. Like,
that's wonderful.
I mean, we get out an hour early so we can go home and spend it with our families.
And Arwen does. She does her own homework. We don't she's like, Mom, I read my books, I did my math, you know, I did my timer. I'm like, she's done.
And I think the biggest difference now is she says, Dad, I can do it. You know, I'll try
wow.
to help her with homework or with reading mm-hmm. or with anything. No, Dad, I can do it. Mm-hmm. I can take care of it.
Yep.
Okay. That's great.
And that's so weird.
And that's the confidence that Shelton has
yep.
given.
Oh,
Arwen.
Confidence.
Yeah.
I can't. Yeah. This little girl is so totally different.
Okay. Well, I know
was.
You're not here during the day, but that girl is smiles all day long because I pass by her in the hallway all the time.
She is. I mean, I got to tell you, she was just, I don't even know if this is the right word to use, but she was just, I don't know if it was sad or what. She wasn't happy. You could just see it in her face. My mom said every time I would pick her up, because she was struggling, you know, from her old school, that she was never happy. Because now when I see her when she gets home, she, you know, she's always smiling. She's always in a good mood. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, it's because she's not struggling anymore. And people understand
yeah.
her. She's around mm-hmm. people that can help her.
And yeah, and I think one of the things you had mentioned it earlier, Gina. I think one of the things that I've noticed here at Shelton is, you're allowed to be a kid.
Absolutely.
And I think that's what's missing in, you know, I don't want to go off on a, you know, theological tangent. but it's true. I mean, we've lost the idea of letting children be children and growing up to be children. There's so much stress on children these days.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable academically, you know, from a societal standpoint.
Academically, my goodness.
And here we do not feel that. The staff understands every individual child. And that's one of the things that I've noticed, too, in your class. Every child is treated as an individual
yes.
and not as a class, not as
mm-hmm.
a group. And, I mean, it's incredible.
It's not the one-size-fits-all approach.
That's exactly right. It's custom. It's a custom fit for
every child is taught the way that they learn.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not, here's a piece of paper, I hope you get a 70 to pass.
Yeah,
you
no.
know? So it's...
Well, and it's too, like, I remember being in middle school and you get a paperback and there's red marks all over it. And I'm like, okay, well, how do I fix that? And it was just like, you just, the order, sequence. And I'm like, okay, well, obviously I don't know how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I would not be putting in this order. But I remember just personally coming and even as a teacher, I do this too, is I sit down and I'm like, hey, okay, let's think about this. How do we think of things in order? Like, what's your routine for the morning? And, you know, we'll talk it out. It's like, okay, so think about a story. Things have to happen first before you can put other things in there. So it's never the red marks on the paper. It's like, okay, let's think about this. Let's redo it and teach them the tools and the system of how to do it. And one of the things a teacher told me last year that kind of stuck with me is Shelton teaches kids how to learn. I'm not going to forget what she said. But it's, we teach kids how to learn the system or learn the tools, not necessarily learning a specific concept, because they take the systems and they can apply that to anything instead of just saying, hey, memorize the periodic table. Mm-hmm. Well, what good is that going to do you if you don't know how to do that? Mm-hmm. You can memorize anything for a short minute, but if you don't have the tools to be able to do that or how to do that with anything, does you no good.
And not just here, that just doesn't apply to academics. That applies
right.
to everything
yeah.
that you do for the rest
for
of your
life.
You know, Gina, I don't know if you shared your story with, was it last year? Or no, it was the first year. The first year was really good because one of the eye-opening things for me was those seven classes that were
oh the workshops we had to attend.
Attend.
I love
that's
them. What I was going to ask
I
y'all about.
I love those workshops.
They were fantastic. You know, they
yes.
really opened my eyes. You
oh,
know,
yes.
I still get a little frustrated sometimes where Arwen, you know, I'm like, okay, she should know how to read this, but she doesn't. but it really opened my eyes to how a person with learning differences thinks and sees things.
Yeah.
And they see things differently, and they learn things differently, and they feel things differently. And during those workshops really opened my eyes to that. But
especially the one with the simulation.
Simulations.
Yeah.
So
oh,
that's
like,
one thing that
yeah.
we had talked about with the other family. And
that's
he said that simulation night really, yeah, he said, I, for the first time, really understood myself.
Mm-hmm.
And because it does. I mean, you doing that really kind of goes, oh, wow. I mean.
It does a great job of putting you in another person's shoes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And because, you know, it's so hard to see outside of your own experience and
right.
the way you see things and the way you view the world. And
right.
so, it, you know, that's hard for anybody. That simulation does a great job of taking you outside of yourself and putting you there and going, oh, I get it now.
Yeah.
No, well,
exactly.
And after that, I told Andy, I said, you know what? I said, back when I went to school a long time ago, they didn't have the tests they do now, you know, the whole
mm-hmm.
battery psych whatever educational testing thing we had Arwen done. I'm like, I think I'm dyslexic.
Yeah.
And I know I have ADHD because I'm kind of scatterbrained, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of diagnosed myself. I'm like,
yeah.
Well, no wonder. This is what I've
I would so much rather be that way than whatever's
you know?
Considered normal.
You know, I think but you know, I don't know if you wanted to share that one luncheon that we had with the high school with the seniors.
Oh, we had that first year they had seniors a little luncheon. They had new parents in there, and there were
mm-hmm.
like three seniors there, and they walked in. They were dressed in their jackets, you know, and they just looked so grown up. I'm like, who are these kids? And they were seniors. I'm like, these kids were more mature than adults that I know, and they were like sitting with their chest out, and they were confident. They were going to go tell their professors in their college that I need to sit in the front row because I'm dyslexic and blah, blah, blah. So what I need are my accommodations. I'm like, holy cow. I said, I got chills just listening to them because
mm-hmm.
I'm like, that's going to be Arwen one day.
Yep.
And that's what this school does. It
yep.
builds your confidence.
Well, and then the fact that all of these kids have opportunities just like anybody else to go to college. They can go they can apply and be accepted to any college they want to be, they
yeah.
want to go to, because they have the tools that are necessary.
They have the tools
to advocate for
yes.
themselves.
Oh,
yeah,
advocate for
yeah,
themselves.
Yeah, I, you know, when you go to college, a lot of these things are available to you, but they don't. You have to ask, and if you're not willing or you don't know, you know, it's you wouldn't even know those resources are there.
Yeah,
and so it really, it gives you the tools to go like. Understand how you learn and to make sure you get that in your further education.
Well, one of the things I always tell the kids, you know, not even just saying I need untimed tests or I need this. One of the things that I took away from Shelton with the advocating part, because when I went to Auburn, I did go to the Learning Difference Center and I said, hey, I need accommodations. I went to a school in Dallas for learning differences. Like,
yeah.
what can I get?
Yeah.
And Dr. Pierce, he's still here. I was like, can you send all my paperwork? And I didn't hear from him. And I go back, they're like, well, based on Alabama standards, like, you don't qualify for our accommodations. And I think at that point, for me, that was what I needed to go, I'm not stupid.
Yeah.
I can do this.
Yeah.
But one of the things I had to do is when I was in micro and macroeconomics, 400 people in the class, that he said, all right, you have to make it to class every day, and we're going to have a midterm and a final. And I'm like, I'm going to fail this class. If there's only two grades, I'm failing. So I walked, I did like the walk of the 400 steps down to the front of the room. And I said, all right, I have a learning difference. I'm not a good test taker. And I know you're going to give multiple choice. Mm-hmm. I'll fail the class. I will make it here every day. I will take notes. I will study, but I will still fail. I need extra credit every week to build grades. So that way, when I don't do well on those, my grade is built up with multiple grades instead of just two. I did an extra credit project for him every week, and that's how I passed those classes.
Oh, wow.
But I guarantee you, if I was where I was before I came to Shelton,
right,
no way I would have done that. I'd be like, all right, I'll just find someone to sit next to. I don't know anything.
Guess I'll just jump in.
Yeah, I don't know. But really, I mean, that's a huge to take away and be able to walk up to a teacher and say, I need help, is, I think, a life skill.
Oh, and that's just what they teach you here.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I have a couple of moms that have kids that are seniors, and they said that their child still has their binder at college. That's how they stay organized. You know, they
keep a color coding. Yeah.
Isn't
color
that? Coding.
Because well, they show you how to organize
yeah.
yourself. You know, and I probably need that too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We can teach you.
No, it's just, it's literally been, I can't even, just a blessing, a godsend.
Yeah.
It's just for this school and our family. We have our family back. We have our life back. There's...
Yeah, you know, that's one of the biggest things that I've noticed. And you can see it. It's prevalent. You have people from different cultures, from different societal backgrounds. Yeah, different demographics. Everybody's different in that regard, but we all share the same
thing.
We
all share the same thing.
Our children have learning differences, and you would never... You know, and that's what builds that bond and that family here, and that's why we feel so welcome and
I can talk to moms
here
that understand what I'm saying. You know, they're not looking at me like I'm crazy, you know, because my kid has ADHD and dyslexia, you know.
We
and,
love that. It makes it so much more fun.
And she's just like, but Arwen is not only talking about Arwen, she's just, her mind is just so creative. She does so much stuff that I just never knew, and it's just like it's being pulled out now.
Yeah,
you know, it wasn't before, you know, and now it's just coming out.
I think
all kinds of she goes, Mom, I want to be an architect.
Yeah,
she's building stuff. I'm like, okay, you know.
See, and I think the analogy we could use about every time we talk to people is it's Shelton is kind of like an onion, and it's peeling the layers, and it's every layer has its own surprise.
Yeah,
because, you know, one of the beauties of this and us doing this for a couple times talking to people is given the opportunity to try things you would never would have tried before. So like we have a fifth in state track star who was a narrator for their musical. And he's like, I don't know, I thought it would be fun. So I just jumped in, but he has never done theater before. And so it gives them a chance to try new things and really find that small little niche that they're really good at.
Right.
Because that's where they leave here and they go and do that. And it's a part of the puzzle of whatever industry they go in that completes it.
Yes.
And only they could have done it.
Yep.
And that's what we're peeling away to find. And really, I mean, them getting to do half the stuff we do here. I mean, I go into rooms and I love it because the boards are all drawn on and it's, you know, it's just there's a freedom here that kids feel like they belong.
Like that. Freedom. That's what it is.
You know,
go ahead, honey.
No, I was going to say, I think one of the funniest things and one of the biggest things for us is every time we get an email from a teacher or called into the teacher's office, we're not petrified with fear, like, oh my gosh, what did Arwen do? Or what didn't she do? It's always praise here. And that's one of the things.
The first year, her teacher called me, like, it was a couple of months. I remember her primary teacher called me, and I saw the number, and I was like, well, I'm not going to tell you what I said, but I was like, you know, I'm like, what's going on? So I called back, and her teacher's like, I'm like, is everything okay? Did she do something? What's going on? Because that's what I had before.
Sure. It's experience.
And she goes, oh, everything's fine. I just wanted to make sure that she brings a sack lunch for her field trip. I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? And I'm like, she goes, are you okay? I'm like, kind of. She goes, Gina, it's going to be okay. She's okay. I'm like, okay. I'm like, she's over here soothing me because I'm stressed out from before.
Yeah.
So now that we get him, I'm like, oh, this is a praise. You know, it's not
yeah.
a, here's what she did wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you
know? I think that's been the biggest difference. It's the focus on the positive
yeah.
here. And the focus on what each child is good at. And mm-hmm. like you said, peeling away that onion.
Peeling the onion. Mm-hmm. It really is peeling the onion.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yep. It's, I know. No, but it's just, I mean, y'all are such a testimony, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted you to share your story. And plus, we both know you on
mm-hmm.
different aspects. But I just think you're such a testimony to what a lot of other people experience. And, I mean, I remember leaving as a senior going, I'm never coming back. It's our freedom. We're out. And when I came back, I always tell the kids, like, this is my give back to you of what Shelton did for me.
Right.
And I was like, I don't want to go anywhere else because I want to make sure you leave feeling the same way I felt and not feeling like you can't do whatever you want to do. And so, and I think probably is a lot of the reason why you're back too. I know your mom's here, but.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, we're about to do our film festival and it's mostly alumni in the film industry that come back and share their experiences. And so we have that whole group that comes back and gets back and works with the kids and stuff like that. So it's really, you know, the people who come through here really remember what it did for them, and they, you know, a lot of them stay in our orbit.
Yeah, it is. It's a family. I mean, you can't get rid of us. That's what I always say.
We see it every time we go to auction or what we yeah. you know, we do that. I mean, we see people that come back to speak and to present and tell yeah. their stories, and we're like, you know, it's just amazing how this is with a family, and you always keep coming back.
Yeah. Well, she'll continue to amaze you. Y'all are just at the beginning.
Oh, and she's already. I mean, it's only been our third year, and she's just.
Yeah.
She's already.
And
she's
yeah,
so much
and
better.
You know, we spread the gospel, quote unquote, all the time. When we have friends whose kids are struggling, well, have you gotten tested? You know, we run the gamut with them because we have our mental checklist of everything that we've gone through.
Yep.
And we share that with them, and we like, well, you know. Have you looked at Shelton? They have a summer program, and they have all these things.
Mm-hmm.
Shelton is always the first word that we mention to them because it's had such an impact on our lives and
yep.
on Arwen's life.
And we don't want them to go through the same struggles and pain that we went through.
Yeah.
You know, because I want them to try to avoid that. So we tell them about the school and what, you know, the workshops, and they attend them. They're like, oh. So, you know.
Yeah.
It opens their eyes.
Yeah. It's just educating.
It is.
I mean,
it's
up to us.
It's all about education,
it
no
is.
Matter who it is.
Yeah. Nope. And I mean, that's a lot of the reason why we like sharing these stories, because I think there's so many people that feel the same way.
Well, none of us knew anything about dyslexia. We had no clue about dyslexia.
No. Well, and it's still very new. I mean, mm-hmm. we are in almost 2020, and it's still very, it's kind of like a, not a lot of people know about it, but I mean, like you said, you go back and you think about your experience and you're like, I think I might be dyslexic. I mean, my dad is, and he's like, I know my dad couldn't read.
I remember struggling in high school.
Yeah. But it builds the path
yes.
for the journey you've been on. And now you get to share the experience and watch her blossom.
Yes. And we will be, I told Andy, I said, I will advocate for learning differences till the day I die.
Yep.
Because it is yep. very important for people to educate themselves about mm-hmm. what a learning difference is and how we can help.
Well,
because
it's not a negative, and that's what
it
I
isn't.
Feel like people have a stigma that it's a negative, and it's such a positive. And if you get your child
right
where they need to be, and essentially just unlocking that interior of them and getting them the tools they need, it actually is some of the most incredible kids I've ever known in my life. And I mean, you look at some of the most famous people. I mean, Einstein, people that do
Steven
and
Spielberg.
Move people that move mountains and
Robin
create
Williams.
Amazing
I mean,
things.
You keep going. You just keep going.
Oh, yeah.
The list is big.
But those are the ones that have made such a difference in this world. And so walking in the doors every day just as a teacher, I mean, I always am like, ooh, I can't wait to figure out what happens today, because it really is like such a blessing. I mean, on our end too, as opposed, you know, like, well, along with y'all's end. I mean, I sit in a lot of shoes as alumni, as a parent, as a teacher. But I mean, I'm so glad y'all are here. You're such an asset to Shelton too. You've done a lot for the auctions and so involved, and that's
we will keep giving back as much as we can, because the school has done, I mean, for our daughter and for all the kids here, we just we love.
Well,
this
we
place.
Can't do it without the parents either. So,
yeah, and you know, I think for us, the story is still not done. We're still advocating. We're still trying to make people aware, trying to make educators aware.
Yep.
Of
school districts.
Yeah, school districts. I mean, we've
Keep talking about it.
We talk to people. We keep
knock
talking
on
about
doors.
It.
We tell people.
Yeah.
You know, Shelton
That's
has
awesome.
A lot of. Things they offer free workshops.
Yeah,
educate yourself, learn about it, so you know how to bring it back to your
Well,
school
and what people don't understand is just because you come and educate yourself here doesn't mean you have to come here.
Right.
It's educating yourself just to be aware.
Right.
I mean, we have so many different aspects of Shelton, like the outreach program. They go and train. We do free
I
workshops,
spoke to
and
department. Yeah, I spoke
to them. But it's like just educating yourself so you can go out and do and make the best decisions for your kids, or just understand where, and so, and like you said, just being an advocate and just being that word to educate people on what it really is, because it really is. There's nothing negative about it. It really is to me. I would not have. Any different. My husband's dyslexic, my son's dyslexic, and really I think my life would be pretty boring if they weren't in it.
You're probably right.
It just
it's a
I
gift.
Love it.
It, it really
is,
a gift. It's a gift.
Totally a gift.
Yeah, I agree.
I know.
Well, is there anything else you want to share before we sign out?
No, I think maybe the only advice that I can give to anybody is who's struggling, who's been in the same situation as we have, listen to your child.
Mm-hmm.
They know. And B, just I would say follow your mind, but I think it's just as important to follow your heart, because you know what the right thing to do is, and you shouldn't let that get in the way of your child's happiness and joy, and regardless of where you go. It may not be Shelton, it could be somewhere else. But
absolutely.
I agree.
It's like my dad always said, and I'll kind of close it out with this, but my dad always told me when we were deciding to move my oldest here, is he said, you've got one chance at your child's education.
Yep.
And you better get it right.
Yeah.
And so when he told me that, I was like, well, you know, I guess we're going to Shelton, because he just knew based off my experience. And you know, you've got to do what's right for them.
Yep.
And like you said, I think we so much follow our mind of what we think needs to happen, and when we know in our heart what we need to do. So it's a beautiful thing. So
thank you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks. I appreciate
You're
it.
Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you very much.